shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what the heck it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows, well, they, quite frankly, they wish they could, but they can't. And welcome to our show, and if you are near a computer and you don't yet have a backstage pass, you got to get one. If you've got a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry website, you can watch our show as well as listen to it. And with the advent of internet radio, God knows where this thing's going. It's taken off. It's a rocket to the stars. And we're going to be right there at the leading edge of it, so I like to think. Anyway, so visit us online at philhendryshow.com. And in any event, we are with you terrestrially every night here. And tonight we're going to kick off with more on this horrible, tragic situation in Central Florida, Sanford, Florida, and this vigilante who shot a young unarmed man walking with Skittles and a can of Arizona iced tea with his hood up and his cell phone talking to his girlfriend in Miami, a black teenager, and all of that added up in the mind of one George Zimmerman to suspicious person, I better get my gun out. And he did, and that boy that I just described is dead. So right now, facing mounting protests over the shooting death of this young man by this neighborhood watch volunteer, the Sanford City Commission voted on Wednesday that they had no confidence in the city's police chief. Now, this police chief is a man by the name of Lee, Bill Lee Jr. He interpreted, and I'm gonna be kind. This is me being kind to the police chief. I mean, he interpreted the Florida Stand Your Ground law to mean that if you feel threatened, then you may shoot to kill. Now, never mind the fact that there may be some impaired judgment. I'm not saying there wasn't a case of this guy. Well, there wasn't a case of this guy Zimmerman, but I don't know that he was drinking or anything like that. Never mind that there might be some impaired judgment. Never mind that there might be some mental illness. Never mind the fact that he's not a trained professional and just doesn't know what a threat really is. This is how this guy was interpreting this law. Out at the community center at Western Estates, and by the way, folks, the reason why we're talking with the Dooleys tonight is because this was a gated community. Mr. Zimmerman, who is a, quote, white Hispanic, end quote, told the police he shot Trayvon in self-defense. It's a gated community of some 250 homes. They are townhouses. That's my understanding. Bobby Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, so you can comment on this, Bobby. First of all, just tell people, what are you doing tonight?
Thank you, Phil. This evening we are at our community center, and we have a great number of people here who have volunteered to pass out a lot of the flyers that we have, informing people of different aspects to what gated communities and community living is. For the very first time this year, Phil, we've opened our gates to people who are not residents to come in and to talk to those of us who live here in a gated community and explain to them what a gated community is really supposed to achieve. From that, we can then further discuss whether the individuals that have come to see our gated community, whether it's for them. The reason we're doing all of this, and my husband Steve is working over on the action committee, we want to know what this so-called gated community in Central Florida, whether it was a risk one or not. And what we mean by that is simply this. There are gated communities like ours, which do have gates and do have walls and are protecting relatively high-income homes and relatively high-income families. Following the construction of these gated communities en masse in the late 1990s, we saw an upswing in the construction of gated communities among middle-income to lower-middle-income people. And suddenly we saw an upswing in risk one. So we are educating people tonight as to what true gated community living is. And again, my husband Steve is over on the action committee table taking sign-ups from people who want to do the tour.
All right, well, but you said something there that I took note of. Risk one. You say that the modern gated communities that are more for lower middle-income people are risk one. What does that mean?
Risk one is a term that is used by our homeowners association council. We have a council of area homeowners association presidents. There is a point whereby the residents of a community are as likely to commit a crime as someone from the outside is against those residents. That's what we call risk one. We look at the gated community in Sanford. First blush, it seems to be a lower middle income gated community. There doesn't really seem to be a whole lot of sense in having gates around the community because, again, you have a higher likelihood, and I'm not saying that it happens, but there's a higher likelihood that the individuals in that gated community will be committing the crimes.
Are you you're saying that, in other words, the because of the income, the lower middle income of some people in that gated community, as opposed to your own, which is a higher income?
Oh yes, ours is a high income, upper class community. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So what you're saying is this community in Sanford, Florida, lower middle income community, is more likely to have crimes committed in it by its own residents.
Well, I don't want.
Essentially, yeah, Mr. Henry, but we don't want to say that because I think it's pretty tough to do.
And Steve is okay.
I'm sorry, but I just came over from the action table. I want to say that.
Well, I mean, it may be rough, but isn't that what you're saying?
Well, what we're saying is that to live in a gated community, just so you can say you live in one, that may be well and good, but is it really living in a gated community? Is there exclusivity? Is there, and again, so many of the people that we're meeting tonight want to know, well, what is living in a gated community? Well, first of all, it's not just living behind gates. Is there exclusivity? Is there desirability given the common areas, the pool areas, and so forth? Are you likely to see people behind the gates who are a cut above, if you will, and a lot different from the people that you'll see when you go outside of the gates? Do you see a lot more of the HPV, the high-performance vehicles, and so forth? If you can't answer yes to these questions, then it doesn't matter if you live behind gates.
Yeah, a lot of people live in the gate. Mr. Henry, they don't live behind a gate.
All right, we're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association on what it is to live in a gated community, because where this shooting took place in Florida, in Sanford, Florida, where this George Zimmerman shot dead this young man, Trayvon Martin, was a gated community. Ms. Dooley has described it as a middle to lower middle income gated community. You said, Ms. Dooley, that there's really no reason for the gates to be there or the wall around the community because the people inside are as likely to commit a crime as people on the outside. And you're basing all of this on income. So what is the next step then?
Well, and the reason why we're having our fair tonight, we're having our information fair tonight, is because what we are asking of the national homeowners is to, if we can, to decertify this gated community in Sanford, to send a formal letter telling them that, for all intents and purposes, they are not a gated community, and that the walls and the gates that they have there are a little superfluous and a little silly. We can't tear the walls down or tear the gates down, but we certainly can, from where we sit, we can simply ignore that they exist and that it is a gated community and just ignore that.
Yeah, that's within our power to do that.
All right, so you would simply say what? You'd say it's not a gated community. But, I mean, you're all the way over in California, and so many of the other people you're talking about aren't in the state of Florida. So what difference does it make to those people down there?
Well, I don't think I understand. I don't understand your question.
What difference would it make to the people in Florida if you guys in California and other homeowners associations said, well, you no longer qualify as a gated community because you're too low income and there's too many weird things happening in your neighborhood?
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't know of anyone who wants to live in a gated community that would want to be decertified by our Homeowners Association Presidential Council, or who would want to be told, basically, in a public forum that your gated community, because really it is like you're standing and you're pointing, j'accuse, if you've seen the movie, j'accuse, I accuse you, and you say you are decertified. And when you say that, if you say, oh, I can do it, Steve, if you say j'accuse, you are saying, really, your little community there is not gated anymore. I hope that explains it. I really was not clear as to your question.
Well, so you're making public a statement. Your gated community doesn't qualify because it's too lower income.
We don't say all of that. We take a look at all of the factors. As I just said to you, I don't want to have to go through it again.
I don't want you to go through it again. I'm just asking. All right. Hang on. I know you guys have a lot of people there.
We're having our information fair. Steve has been talking to a number of people here about what is living in a gated community. And when we heard what happened in Sanford, Florida, and then someone said, oh, it's a gated community, I thought I was going to be sick. I had a hard time really wrapping my brain around that.
Just didn't make sense.
It really did not make any sense.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. Hang on, folks. 877-876-7445. What is a gated community, and is that Sanford community, is that really a high enough income community to call itself gated? And especially after what has happened. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we talk with them about this gated community, the definition of a gated community. And I would ask people who are listening, do you live in a gated community? If you live in a gated community, is it a high-income gated community? If it is not a high-income gated community, do you agree basically with what Ms. Dooley and with Mr. Dooley is saying, that it doesn't even qualify? Because that's what you guys are saying.
Well, I think so, Phil, because look what happened in Sanford, Florida. They live in a gated community, those people, and yet there was a man killed. And the man was killed by someone who lives inside the community. And, excuse me? No, those are, excuse me for a minute, Phil, those are 50 cents, yeah. This man was killed by someone that lives in the community, okay?
Yeah, that's what gets people.
Yeah, that trips people up.
What do you mean it trips people up?
Well, when you say to them, do you live in a gated community? They go, yes, we do, and they like to think that they're, you know, they have some sort of exclusivity, and then I say, well, guess what? That man was killed by someone that lives inside of the community.
Yeah, that part, that really.
See, that they never are able to get around that. And people will just look at you there's nothing to say to that.
All right, well, let me, if I could.
Go ahead.
You could test the theory, Mr. Ray, if you're talking.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, let me just ask this. If I live in a gated community, and it may not be a high-level, high-income gated community. Maybe there's a lot of truck drivers in there. I don't know how you make these determinations. But if you live in a gated community and someone gets shot by someone that lives in that community, then it's no longer gated in your mind.
It's no longer gated because the criminality of the streets is inside, perpetrated by a man, in this instance, in a truck with a handgun, wrestling on the grass, all things that are representative of a high-crime neighborhood, yes, but not a gated community.
Well, you got, like you were saying, Mr. Graham, you got people who are listening right now who are living in a gated community, and they have crime like that, or that they did not have that kind of crime, they may have that crime. Do you really call that gated? And we don't.
No, we do not. We do not. And that's what we've been trying to tell people here tonight. That's why we're having our information fair. and why we're really going to continue to have our information fair, because it's so important for people to not get too ahead of themselves.
Yeah, that's not people high on a hog.
All right, so if I live in a gated community and someone gets killed in my gated community and I am, you know, shocked, I guess I shouldn't be too ahead of myself thinking I still live in a gated community. It's a very bizarre way of looking at things.
Well, no, it isn't. It's simply just because they put a wall around where you live doesn't mean you have the exclusivity. We can go through it again, Steve.
Yeah, the exclusivity, the fact you're going to meet people who are not the same as people who be on the outside. The fact you're going to be, obviously, in a higher income area, and all different things like that.
All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley. We're going to take some phone calls. Let's go over to Las Vegas. We got Brad on the line. And, Brad, go ahead. You're on with Bobby and Steve.
Hey, Phil. This is my question for the lady. I called you a show the other night. I was talking to, I think I was talking to this lady. Who was on the other night.
We're regular guests on the show.
All right. But I did hear you on the other night. You were expressing a sort of what I would call a classist attitude.
Well, I don't know what you mean by classist.
Well, that you've got this high-income thing.
Yeah, you have a high-income attitude that people at higher income live in a gated community. People at low-income, they don't.
Well, if you live in a low-income community, and a bird gets shot and they're dead, how good do you feel?
What do you mean, how good do I feel? I don't feel good at all. I wouldn't feel good that there's, you know, there's people getting shot nowhere, you know.
Well, but this happened in your neighborhood, and you had a, and you're in a gated community.
No, I know what you're saying. You're saying that it's the low income.
Yeah.
All right. But what I want to know is, I moved my daughter into a gated community. It's not the most beautiful gated community in the world, but it was like this community. The homes there are mid-range. They're townhouses. Some of them are condominiums. And I moved my daughter into this because I felt it was a safe for her and for my grandson. And she is recently divorced. And I moved her in. Her mother and I bought this place for her, and we feel very secure.
Can you tell us about the price of the house?
I mean, I spent upwards of $750,000 on a...
Is it a townhouse? Is it a condo? Is it a golf villa?
No, it's a townhouse.
Does it have attached parking?
Yes, it has attached parking.
What about a golf villa?
No, it's not a golf villa.
It's very difficult to know. I would say if it was a golf villa, I would say, and the reason why I say a golf villa, there's expanses there. There is obviously security. And it makes a better statement, but because it is not.
Can I jump in here?
Well, I was talking to the man, Phil.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because it is not a golf villa. Because it is simply a townhouse with attached parking, and I can't really see it. It's tough to know whether she's safe there or not.
Can I jump in here, please? This man is saying he spent $750,000 on a townhouse. I'm telling you right now, in the market today, and you're in Las Vegas, it can't be that much different from California. In the market, that's a hell of a lot of money on a townhouse.
Yeah, and they came down in price too.
Well, I it's still a townhouse. It's not a house. It's a townhouse.
Yeah, it's like an apartment.
It's like an apartment or
not like an apartment at all. It's separate. It's a separate townhouse. It's a separate townhouse.
And a separate townhouse, sir. You have attached parking, and is it a standalone, as they call it?
No, sir. It's attached to another unit, but there's two units with their own separate parking.
What about green space and everything?
But even if it had green space, Steve.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, it does, though. It has green space.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Is she a single woman with a baby?
Yes.
That all bespeaks to me a lower income, because you just said she's divorced.
Yes, she's divorced. It does not matter, though.
And why would that matter if she's a single divorced mother with a baby, if she's being supported, or her father bought her the place?
Her mother and I bought the place.
I have to ask her the Hispanic.
Is she what?
It's not her. Was she married to a Hispanic?
So she was not married to... Well, is she married? Was she married to a Hispanic?
Yeah.
No, she's not married to a Hispanic.
Okay, thank you very much, Brad.
Well, I mean...
877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of your phone calls and this bizarre story of what is living in a gated community. Is it living in a gated community, or do you have to be a certain income for the gates to actually mean something? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Okay, Bobby and Steve Dooley at an information fair at their gated community there where they live in Western Estates, California. They're handing out information to people on, quote, what it is to live in a gated community. And you don't feel that where that young man was killed, you don't feel that's a gated community because there's a criminal element in the gated community.
Well, no, I didn't say I said that there's a risk one.
The risk one factor. And the risk one factor, Ms. Jenner, is not someone that we would qualify necessarily as gated community, but as somebody who is risk one, and we keep an eye on them.
Well, isn't that what that man was doing, that Zimmerman? Isn't that what he said he was doing? He was keeping an eye on people?
Yes, exactly. But also, he was keeping an eye on people, and someone needed to be keeping an eye on him. So really what you had was this sort of criminal element turning in on itself because of the gates.
Yeah, and because the gates are almost like it keeps it in.
And creates a pressure point. And so that kind of low-income gated community is bound to have this explosive kind of a pressure point that we're talking about.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. Talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley, let's go to Millicent. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, dear.
Yes. I just want to say a murder mm-hmm. has been committed in Sanford,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that I mm-hmm. have a friend who lives in a gated community in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought mm-hmm. of myself of getting mm-hmm. an apartment in Florida, but I would never go there
mm-hmm.
because this is
mm-hmm.
a terrible tragedy. It was mm-hmm. not investigated properly. His body
mm-hmm.
was in the morgue for 3 days
mm-hmm.
without notification of his family. And it's
mm-hmm.
a travesty. Why was he following this young man?
Mm-hmm.
Why was he following a 17-year-old
mm-hmm.
who went to the store? Aren't black,
well, I think
are black boys free to go to the store now in America?
Mm-hmm. I think it's because the gated community, why do they call it gated, you know?
Listen, you are speaking
mm-hmm.
about a moot point about damn gated or no
mm-hmm.
gated. You are
mm-hmm.
an idiot. Gated or no gated?
I haven't called you a name. I didn't call you a name.
Gated
I don't
or
know
no
why
gating.
You.
Somebody was murdered. A mother's child
what,
was
yeah.
murdered. And you're
what
talking
is the
about
relevance?
A damn gated community. We all gonna
what?
Die and leave this
mm-hmm.
damn gated community.
Mm-hmm.
Community gated or no gated? You're gonna. I have friends in Florida that live in gated and non-gated community. What's the difference?
Well,
you want to be secure. You want a camera to capture things
yeah.
and to prevent
yeah.
crime. This was a child. And you're talking about
some
damn materialistic gated community. You fool.
Well, you aren't listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying that it was a gated community that should never have been called a gated community. That's what caused it.
Sir.
How did that cause it?
You're an idiot.
Because.
Why did he follow when the police person told him, do not follow
I'll
him?
I'll tell you why. Because
he
thought. Mm-hmm, but I'll tell you why. Because he thought because he lived in a gated community, he could be all Mr., you know, Barney Fife or something.
Your point is not taken
mm-hmm.
because it's idiotic. Because it could have been anywhere where my friend
Wait,
lives in.
Let me jump in here. I want to ask a question. Are you saying, Ms. Dooley, that the man felt empowered to carry a weapon and drive around because he thought he lived in a gated community and needed extra protection?
Well, yeah, I didn't think of it that way, but yes.
You didn't think of it that way, but yes.
That sounds better than what I was saying, yeah. And this lady calling me an idiot Yes, I mean, I didn't call you an idiot.
Somebody's child is dead, and you're talking about a gated community where all of us are going to burn and fry and go back to the earth where we came from. Gated or no gated. I have a friend who works at ITT. She's black, and she worked hard for 30 years, and she bought a house in West Palm Beach. And I've been there. So what? I live in Queens, New York, in a regular house, and it's not a gated community. So what? I should go through my door, and somebody should put a bullet in my son's life, my son's neck.
Well,
and
it sounds to me like you're. Well, it sounds to me like you're jealous of your friend who has the gated house.
Yeah, really,
no, I'm not jealous of it at all because I work hard and I could have bought one if I wanted. I don't want to be there. I'm exactly living where I am by the grace of God. So you
no,
are
the point here,
I'm not jealous
yeah.
of anybody.
But the point here
you
is
you have a silly point and you're an idiot because you are demeaning
you
the
something
of someone's child for a gay community.
I am not.
You are demeaning
it. I'm trying to say the way to save America is to have a proper definition of a gate.
Save community.
Otherwise,
how many
the gate
people,
doesn't exist.
How many people can
a proper
afford a gated community, sir? How many people can
well,
afford a gated community?
Well, you keep calling me sir. I'm a woman, number one. Number two. Number two. How many people?
Yes.
Apparently, they're building gated communities for homeless people. I don't know. I don't think you have to have any money. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, why are they building gated communities
not,
for people that are living
in a
cardboard
sir?
Box?
What do you mean living
not?
In a?
What are you saying?
What do you mean living in a cardboard box in a gated community?
They got people that are homeless living in gated communities.
What? How's that possible? How's it, Mr. Millicent? Thank you for your call and good points.
Child, you're demeaning and you're stupid.
I have three sons. So don't you dare say that to me. I want my children to be able to, when they go to buy a home, ask the question, is this community gated or not, and get a straight answer.
I don't know what that means. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Let's move over to another phone call. We have Wayne on the line. Go ahead, Wayne. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi.
What did you not understand?
I didn't understand what it meant when you said... Yeah, go ahead, sir.
She's trying to make the distinction between high-end gated communities and low-end gated communities.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall correctly, O.J. Simpson lived in a high-end gated community, and that didn't stop him from killing someone. Now, did it?
Oh, he didn't live in a gated community. That was Brentwood. No, that was not gated. That was not gated. It was not gated.
Okay, it was an exclusive community.
Brentwood was not gated. Okay.
Okay,
and
Brentwood
was not gated.
That
blows your whole theory. Your theory's blown.
Yeah, your whole theory's blown.
No, it's not.
Will you let the man finish?
I'm talking about a gated community.
With or without a gate, you're talking about high-income people as opposed to low-income people, with or without the gate.
No, I said with the gate.
Because you're high-income with the gated community does not stop bad people from living there.
O.J. Simpson, sir.
People have a lot of money, okay?
Mm-hmm. But O.J. Simpson did not murder anyone in his community. He murdered someone outside of his community. And that made all the difference.
That made all the difference.
It matters where you murder the person now? Okay.
Well, no, I was saying, are you safe in your own community? Do you live in a gated community, sir?
I have.
Well, you don't now, though.
Yeah, see, you don't now, so you don't know the changes that have taken place.
Because I live in Alaska now, where I don't need to live in a gated community.
Where is that? Where do you live?
The entire state's a gated community. Okay.
What is it? What
you live in Alaska?
Yep.
What is that? I don't understand. I can't imagine how you do that.
How do you do that?
As opposed to down where you live, the crime rate up here is so much lower.
What do you mean? How does he do that?
How do you live in Alaska? How do you go about living there?
What is the point of the question?
The city I live in has 250,000 people in it, so it's not really that difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it? What is the name of the city?
250,000. It's Anchorage. That's the big city.
That's a big city.
That's not a big city. I'm talking about Do you remember the Merle Haggard song, Big City, Let Me Go and Set Me Free? That is what the gated community offers you in the big city. So that if you live in a big city, you can go to a gate at a community and go through the gate and be in an area that's crime-free.
The gentleman made a point here about O.J. Simpson being a wealthy man living in an exclusive neighborhood and still committing a crime. And you said because he didn't commit the crime in his neighborhood, that proved what?
First of all, O.J. Simpson did not live behind gates. But all right, I get it. It's a moot point. The crime that O.J. Simpson committed was outside of the neighborhood. It was not random. It was a very select and specific crime. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the randomness of living in a gated community where you shouldn't be in a gated community and a guy in a truck.
Yeah.
Okay.
That didn't make any sense either.
I'll make my question more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Specifically, just because you live in a high-end gated community, that does not stop people with bad intentions from living there. And it doesn't make you more prone for low-end.
I don't understand that thinking at all. I mean, you don't. Al Capone lived in a high-end gated community, and he never, ever hurt people on that street.
That's right.
Al Capone lived in a gated community where?
He lived on Star Island in Miami.
And he never hurt anybody that lived on his street.
As far as from the records that have been kept.
All right, Wayne, thank you for your call, sir.
Yeah, she's in my head, so.
Thank you very much.
Well, if you know, that really is insulting. Is he saying to me that I'm an idiot? That I'm hurting his head?
Like he's doing a comedy routine.
That he's doing a comedy routine. I want to get back to this whole Al Capone never hurt anybody that lived on his street. How do you know?
Are you kidding me? Al Capone lived in Miami, and they loved him. They loved it.
Yeah, they loved Al Capone down there. They didn't like him in California, but in Miami they loved him. That's why in Miami, today, if you're a criminal, well, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, we're not trying to intimate anything, Phil.
All right, hold the line here. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Talk about your head hurting. In any event, gated community or no gated community, if you live in a gated community and it's a low-income gated community or it's a middle-income, you know, and you don't have a lot of Cadillacs, you got a lot of trucks, are you seeing a lot of crime in your neighborhood? Does your gated community keep the crime out the way the wealthy gated communities do? Because we have all kinds. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're talking to them. There's an information fair going on, talking with people who are non-residents of their gated community about what a gated community is, what a gated community should be, Bobby.
A lot of those questions are being answered tonight, so yes. And I want to address something that was stated by a lady earlier when she said that it doesn't matter if you're in a gated community. I mentioned to the last caller that a gated community, if it is well-kept and well-groomed and is kept up, is an escape from the city. Ours is. And again, I'm reminded of that song by Merle Haggard, which it is a country song. And people who have money are country music fans, too, where he sings, I'm tired of that dirty old city. I'm tired of too much soot and
yeah, those big cities.
No, I know the song.
Well, what is he singing? He's saying he's tired of it, and he wants to get away from it. But you're not getting away from it if you live in a gated community that's of the low income.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let me get over to some phone calls of people that are hanging on here and find out exactly where they stand here tonight. This is Kip on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Kip. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we continue to talk about this. Is Kip there? No? Okay. Let's move on to Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I live down here in down south on the Gulf
Yes.
Coast. Yeah, I agree with the lady. There needs to be standards in gated communities. I got a T-shirt as a gated community. It's a Louisiana State Penitentiary, Angola.
There you go. There you go. Do you know the song that I'm talking about? I'm tired of the dirty old city.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the dirty old... You know that song. It's by Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
And really what the song is about you and me, Kip, or what's this man's name?
His name is Mike.
Mike, living in a gated community where you can be free. Now, you were living in a prison, did you say?
No, this guy's prison.
No. I got a...
Do you work at my husband just...
Angola State Penitentiary. They call it a gate community.
Oh, you have the gate. Oh, I see.
Yeah, you've got a T-shirt. I just hired a guy just got out of prison.
My husband just hired a man who's just out of San Quentin. And how's he working out?
He's doing good. He's not very smart. But just because you were in prison doesn't mean you're stupid.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. So, you know.
The smartest people I ever run into are in prison.
Are in prison, I'm sure. So, Mike, I just think if we all live in a gated community and that we can be proud of it, and it's not a run-down place, like you said, in Angola, which that's, where is that? That's Africa.
No, Angola State Prison's in Louisiana.
Yeah. What's the one in Africa?
That's Angola the country.
I'm sure they got communities there, but
Do you think they do? I think it would be funny to see a gated community in Africa. I don't know what do you think they have at the gate? Someone in one of those masks, Steve?
Yeah, they probably got a guy in a mask going.
All right, you know, this is beginning to drift into sort of a stupid conversation. All right.
Well, Phil, I brought up the song, and even I'm tired of the dirty old city. That is what a gated community represents.
All right, Michael. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And again, we have to remember that there was someone killed. Here is Justin. Go ahead, Justin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, thank you for listening to
the Phil Hendry
Show. Yes, sir. Marcus Gray, or the Dooley's, anyway, I used to be a security guard in Florida in a gated community now.
These people go from
Vipers to Lamborghinis, to Hummers, all the new cars. But here's the deal, though. It didn't stop people from doing bad things. I mean, I've caught... For a good example, there's 13 teens inside this gated community that stole a guy's truck, stole six of his guns, stole three of his dirt bikes, and did $250,000 worth of damage to this guy's house. Now, these are teens that live inside their gated community and lived there for, I think, like 10 years until the gated community finally decided to boot them and the parents out.
What kind of income is that gated community that you worked at? Is it the kind that I'm tired of this dirty old city, or is it a higher end?
No, it was high up. Like, these houses, a cheap house, range from, like, $400,000 to about $600,000.
No, that's
$400,000 is very low price.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. This is Florida. Did you say it was in Florida, Mike? Or, Justin? Was it Florida?
It was in Florida.
Yeah, okay.
Now.
All right, so now let's think about this, because the real estate prices are different.
Well, but a $400,000 house, even in Florida, is not anything exciting.
But,
that's cheap.
But now, the good thing about the gated community, though, was that when they paid their community fees, though, like, if something was broken, I knew who did it because I knew everybody in there by heart. But what I'm saying, it doesn't matter where you live. Always going to be out there with bad intentions out there. It don't matter if you got lots of money or no money. There can be good people that are poor, and there can be bad people that are rich.
Amen to that.
Okay, I got money. I can do whatever I want to do.
What we're saying is, in a gated community that's only $400,000, that's one that is, I'm tired of the dirty old city, as opposed to where the rich people live.
Yeah, but you guys haven't made your case very well.
These are rich people.
Yeah, this guy, they had Vipers and they had what, Lamborghinis. Those are some pretty heavyweight cars.
Well, then why are the homes so cheap?
It probably was a different time.
I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm going to keep, you know.
There's guys that rode Harley Davidsons that were like $60,000 that he could go out and wreck it and replace it just boom like that. But what I'm saying, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter
like mountain
where you're at in the city.
Sounds like Huckleberry to me.
It sounds like Huckleberry trash.
Very good. All right, Justin, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445. That gentleman was working in a gated community.
Well, I just thought, Mr. Rainey, again, the point that we haven't made about what I'm trying to make and everything about that. I'm tired of the dirty old city. I'm tired of too much pay and the way that they did it.
I don't understand a thing you guys said. I'm tired of this dirty old city. All right. I may be tired of this dirty old city, but not that tired. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Father James McQuarters is going to be joining us next hour with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. All right.
I'm tired of your dirty old city. Place that I'm...
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You caught me mid task here as we're attempting to download a song for the appearance of Father James McQuarters. We're going to continue to talk about this episode, this tragedy, this it seems like an American tragedy, the tragedy that unfolded in Sanford, Florida. And if you asking Phil Henry, well, how do you feel, Phil? I'll tell you. I mean, I was angry at the guy with the gun, not because he had a gun. Because he was an idiot, because he was stupid, because this law that they passed in Florida, which is already a stupid law, if I'm hearing it right, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to defend yourself with a gun. You're allowed to defend yourself with a gun in the state of California, in the state of Arizona, and just about every state that I know of, there is an opportunity for a citizen to defend themselves using a gun. But in Florida, stand your ground. What does that mean? If you feel threatened... So any dumbass who feels threatened is allowed to pick a gun up and blow somebody away? I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number as we are joined here by Father James McQuarters from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. And we do thank you for being with us, Father. I guess it's a little bit of a different take on what we're talking about tonight.
The first thing I wanted to ask you, Phil, is if you had the song that I eventually am going to want to play for the people.
We do have it, yeah.
All right. This is a song that I first heard when I had before I had left Ireland and before I had encountered, really for the very first time, my congregation, the people that I would ultimately shepherd, in a very poor neighborhood in upstate New York. In a place called Syracuse, New York, as a very poor, poor Italian families. And there was a great deal of gun violence. And I remember this song very clearly by this group, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Do you remember this group?
Of course. I played them when I was a disc jockey.
And if you remember the song, Phil, it was called Saturday Night Special. And I've got the song there.
This is it here, but
yes. And I would ask you to listen to the lyrics of the song here, Phil. Is the man is singing, take all the guns and throw them into the bottom of the sea. It says, take the guns and throw them into the bottom of the sea. And that's what I'm preaching, if you want to say that I'm giving my homily here this evening, as you asked me to.
Well, I thought that we would talk about this situation.
Like a black cat do.
And two bodies laying naked.
This is a song about a man and a woman who are lying in bed together. They've had sex together. And the man is, the husband of the woman has found the man and has found the woman together. And the husband takes the Saturday night special. And you can hear, he shoots the man dead and he shoots the woman dead. And it's a tragedy because you can well imagine. Perhaps, and would you please tell the man to turn it down?
You can turn the music down, bud.
And you can well imagine that in the next room someplace, there's a child, or maybe there's two children, or three, or more, and they hear the fire, the firing of his weapon, and they hear the life being taken by their own father, as he takes the life of their mother. And this is the gun violence of America. Now, I worked among people from the very time that I left the seminary, from the very time that I was granted my novitiate, and the first time that I walked as best as I could in the shoes of Christ. And I witnessed for myself so many people affected by this violence. And Phil, I will tell you, if you ask me for a solution to this, it's to take those guns and to throw those guns in the ocean, as the song says.
Well,
And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say about the right to bear arms. You're going to talk about all of the constitutional issues. But I'm here to tell you about what God would want us to do. Doesn't that count for anything?
Well, Father, I know that God doesn't want us to kill each other, but I don't think that God wants us to stand there and be just a target for someone's violence, does he?
Bill, I'm talking to you now not just as your friend. I'm talking to you now as a priest. And you're a Catholic. And I know that not everyone in your audience is Catholic. But everyone in your audience, I suspect, maybe not everyone in your audience, but I would say quite a few people in your audience, I would say a lot of them are believers in a supreme being that we call God. And when I say to them that I'm a priest, and that I tell them that what God would want us to do is to throw the guns into the bottom of the ocean, are you sitting there and telling me, are you trying to tell me they're going to give me an argument? Are you telling me that they're going to laugh at me? That they're going to look into the face of the priest and they're going to laugh? Are you saying they'll look into the eyes of a priest and laugh? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm not saying. I'm saying that...
But are you saying that...
Well, hold on. What I'm saying is that they are going to say, Father... You know,
But are they going to be mealy-mouthed about it? Because that's the way you sound. You're sounding mealy-mouthed.
What do you mean I'm sounding mealy-mouthed?
Well, you're going, Father. Spit it out, lad. If you're going to be a man, then...
I believe that we should be allowed to bear arms, yes.
You believe that even after I said what I said to you, you were raised Catholic, you know that I'm a Catholic priest. Boy.
Well, if you're asking my honest opinion...
I asked for your honest opinion, but I also asked you to consider that who you are saying it to. Do you know who you're saying it to?
I'm saying it to Father James Recorders.
What's the first part of that, though?
Father.
There you go. And you've got the guts to say to me that you would go against what I have said to you as a priest. And
well, what is, you know, I got to ask you a question. What is being a priest?
What do you mean, what is being a priest?
What does that represent? If you're a priest, does that mean you're right all the time?
It means when I speak on ecclesiastical matters, and when I speak on matters of liturgy, that I am speaking for Jesus. And if you ask me, does that mean that I'm always right? I would say I'm not always right. I'm not saying that I'm always right. I'm saying that Jesus is right.
So Jesus wants us to take the guns and...
Don't demean and don't you dare blaspheme or mock the word of God.
I'm not doing that.
Well, you said, just so what you're saying, it sounded smart-ass, it sounded like you were...
I apologize. I didn't want to sound that way.
Well, that's what it sounded like. Don't say, so what you saying to me, Father? And you're doing it in that loosey-goosey kind of a gay sound. And
no, I'm not. If you're saying that I'm mocking you, I'm not. I'm asking to be clarified on that point.
At what point do you need clarified?
The point that I need clarified is God wants us to throw the guns in the ocean so that when someone breaks into my house and they've got a gun...
Oh, you feel you've got to stop with that old saw. You always go with that saw about if someone breaks into my house. If someone breaks into my house. If someone ties my wife down. If someone ties... Are you going to say that?
Father...
Are you going to say that? You're going to say if someone ties my wife down. If some, are you going to say that?
Yes, I am. I'm going to say that.
Then let me tell you what you do. You're a man of God. You put your trust in God. You put your trust in God.
That is...
That's what you were about to call me an a-hole, weren't you?
No, I was not.
Yes, you were. You were going to say that's the advice of an a-hole. That's what you were going to say.
No, I was not, Father.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Phil, don't lie. You were going to say that's the advice of an a-hole. Because... You don't agree. You think you should have a gun. And you see what a gun did. Take a look, Mr. Henry, at your gun. Look at what the gun did. Are you proud of that? Are the American people who believe in guns, are they proud of the gun? Of what the gun done? This is what we want more than anything else, the people of this country. Look at what the gun done. And don't let it be done again.
It sounds like you're giving your homily.
Well, you wanted me to speak honestly from the heart and speak as I feel Jesus might speak to us. And that's what I feel he would say.
All right, Father. I'm going to take a break here.
I know you take your break, and we're going to give a phone number or something, right?
Yes, sir, and we will take some calls.
I look forward to it very much.
All right. Father James McCord is with us from Belmar Academy. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Take all the guns and throw them in the ocean. That's the solution to the problem, according to Father James McQuarters. And he ought to know. He's a priest. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't want to talk about...
when we come back.
All right.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Father James McQuarters from Belmar Academy as we talk, and we've talked candidly, Father, about so many different issues and so many different, you know, so many different situations and environments that affect people. This shooting in Florida is a tragedy. My personal feeling is this was an irresponsible human being. This was some imbecile, as far as I'm concerned, who took this asinine law all the way to the nth degree, a guy who wasn't qualified to be any kind of a marshal or a security guy. You know, guns are supposed to be for self-defense, primarily in your own house.
Well, I have to tell you that you're making a good speech there, but you're so far afield of what the real problem is. You talk about guns and what they're for. I know what guns are for. I've seen the neighborhoods of the guns. And by the way, I want to make one point.
You've seen the neighborhoods of the guns.
I've been in these neighborhoods where they live by the gun. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And if I went to those neighborhoods and I said to them, take all the guns and throw them in the bottom of the ocean, you know I would have thousands of mothers that would hoist me onto their shoulders and they'd say, Father James McQuarters for president. Father James McQuarters for president. But I want to make a point. Because this comes up often when I'm on the radio programs or I go on the television programs and I'm making a social point about a political point or something that needs to be said. And the people will often bring up this terrible child molestation scandal that the Catholic Church went through a number of years ago to try to sidetrack me or to try to use that as an argument against my points. I will not countenance that. I will not allow that to sidetrack the argument.
Well, I'm your father. I think that that's fair, but people are going to have their opinions.
I'm not going to answer any. I'm not going to talk to anybody that wants to bring up the child molestation, because that's their way of trying to get the moral high ground out from underneath me, and I'm not going to let that happen. So, with that having been said, I've taken away the one weapon that most people are going to have against me, using the child molestations, and now I've got the high moral ground, and boy, I'll tell you, I feel like a dog and someone's thrown me fresh red meat.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Yeah, okay, Father. You know, we're talking here about something that is much more complex than just taking the guns and throwing them in the ocean.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah, I do. I think so. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Kip. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Father McCorders. Kip.
Yes, Father. I tend to agree with the Father to a great degree. I think that our right to bear arms has changed. I mean, we take advantage of that right. And a kid dies, and then we got an idiot like your last guest. An idiot like your last guest making excuses. It's a gated, non-gated community. And
that's exactly correct. That's exactly
you gotta, if you want to bear arms, you got to be responsible. And people are not responsible. It's proven. This man's walking around while a mother's burying her dead son.
And he's walking around to the street. He's walking around like some, like God's own jackass, isn't he, walking around? And for
exactly.
all we know, the man still has his weapon on him. He still has his weapon.
Look, I don't disagree with you guys on that. I think the guy ought to be in jail, too.
Don't give me that, Phil. Because with your attitude and your belief system, Phil, the man, that's why he killed the man in the first place.
No, with my attitude, what are you talking about? I didn't even know Florida had this stupid law. Stand your ground. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
It is.
Yeah, sure.
It is.
But the thing is, we
talk about our right to bear arms. But we're not people who bear arms aren't responsible. If you look at the number of deaths the kids die of, 85 to 95% of are murders committed with arms.
I ought to listen to this young man because what he's saying is true. They're killed with guns. And now you hear all of these hip-hop artists, don't you know? And I listen to this one punk. If I saw half of the hip-hop artists that I hear on the radio and they were standing in front of me, I'd slap their faces.
And well, which one are you talking about?
Oh, this punk, this Drake. All of the young boys and the girls listen to this man. And this young man, Lil Wayne. I'd slap their faces for the things they say about women and the guns that they carry. I'd slap their faces and I'd kick, and I even used the N-word one day. But because I'm a Catholic priest, I'm allowed to.
And because you're a Catholic priest, you could use the N-word?
You can use the N-word.
I'll tell you what. I saw these young black boys trying to act all tough, and I said, you two, nappy-headed, and I said, N. You get your butts off of this playground right now, because they were on the school.
How
campuses,
is that
godly? You know.
How is that godly?
I'll tell you, because sometimes you have to pick up the sword.
I didn't use physical violence. Father, is that what God would say?
What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do with the money changers? What did he do with the money changers?
Oh, my goodness, this show is full of just interesting
Let me ask you this question. What did Jesus do with the money changers?
He picked them up and threw them out.
He physically ejected them from the synagogue, yes. And I told these two nappy
black people.
Well, I got to tell you, with all of the stuff that we've been going through, Father McCorders, for you to say you saw two black kids on the playground, they were not students?
No, they're not students. I knew they were not students.
Okay, and you said the first thing you said to them, you two nappy-headed ends.
That's right, and I grabbed them by the collar, and I physically dragged them off at the playground.
It don't make
I'll not have that.
Than the guy who was in that gated community who made the same judgment that you're making right now. He saw a black kid, he assumed the worst, but he did something different than what you did. He shot the kid. He
he assumed the word.
And isn't that the difference between me and him? Let me tell you something.
In that community, that white kid would still be alive today. But it was a black kid, so now he's dead.
Hold on for a minute. You're talking to a priest now. You're talking to a priest. You're talking to a priest now. So
Father,
hold on.
Then you know what?
I'm a priest.
Live godly.
I live in godly. And I want to tell you, I didn't pick up a gun and I didn't shoot nobody. You see, that's the difference between me and the man down there in Florida. And I have black students.
Well, okay, let me ask you. You have black students.
Well, of course we've got black students.
Do you call them N?
If they're getting under my skin, I say, you two lousy, lazy N-words, get back into class.
Are you putting me on? I mean, what do their parents say?
This is a private college. This is a private college preparatory academy in Glendale, California. People are scratching and sniffing and doing all kinds of flips and twists to get their kids into this school. I can assure you.
Two black parents are doing flips and twists to get their kids into Belmar Academy, and there's a Catholic priest calling their kids the N-word.
You better believe it. And you know something? I say it with love. There's not a hint of racism in it, but it's still letting those boys know that I rule the roost.
So what do you call a white boy?
I'm the boss. I'm the boss.
What do you call a white boy to that, Father?
Okay, sometimes I say you trash, you white cracker trash, or I call him an old face, something like that.
Really?
Okay. All right, listen, I'm glad you hung on, Kip. It was good talking to you. Thank you, sir. Our number, 877-876-7445, is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Now, don't start talking like, oh, boy, we really got problems now. What is it with you?
Well, Father, I think you're moving this in a direction I didn't think it would go in. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, baloney.
Phil Henry.
You lousy, dirty...
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And as you know, every night we're on live on Phil TV and HD. So if you want to watch our show as well as listen to it, watch how we perform the show, you can do that at philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show at philhenryshow.com. Also, our thousands and thousands of hours of archived audio going back over a decade. Lots of stuff. We have our webisodes. And, of course, you can visit our souvenir shop as well. All kinds of cool stuff there. We got our Bobby Dooley keychains, which I totally forgot to mention when Bobby was here, so maybe we'll have her back. 877-876-PHIL. Father James McCorders is on the line with us. We're going to get back to some phone calls. In the middle of all of this discussion, Father, about guns and this discussion about violence in Florida...
That is correct, yes.
You came out and said that while you are disciplining or otherwise getting kids to get off the playground or suspicious kids or...
And also, Phil, I'm dealing with my own students, and I want that to be made very clear now, because I know that you and some of your callers want to make a big issue out of Father McQuarters talking straight up to some of these young toughs. But when I want it to stick, I give it to them straight, and I give it to them dirty.
But you're calling black kids the N-word.
And when I see them hanging around, and not just the ones that don't belong on the campus, but also some of our own, and the white kids too, I'll say the white trash that we've got in some of this trash can behavior, and the mothers that are on the methamphetamines and so on. And this is a Catholic a college preparatory school, Phil. We've got some wonderful children here. But we've also got, because of the fact that the diocese is generous with a great many of these families, we've got a great many families in our school that are suffering, you know, economically, and they can't afford it.
I understand.
And a lot of them, they've got the drug-addicted mothers, and they've got these drug addicts or alcoholic fathers. I've gone down to some of their homes. And I've said straight up to these fathers, I've said that you're a disgrace to your family, you dirty, filthy alcoholic. And that's what you are, and I say this to them. And I say to them, you're a dirty, white trash, alcoholic piece of garbage. And if I wasn't a Catholic priest, I'd kick your you-know-whats, and I use some very choice language, Phil. I'd kick them right up into your mouth, have you open your mouth so I could count them. You know, I get into some real language with them.
Okay, so you're getting tough with the fathers, and what has any of them challenged you to a fight?
They wouldn't dare. I'm a priest, and I can't. I have the cross of Jesus Christ around my neck. They wouldn't dare lay a hand on me.
877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know that you're going to be able to get away with, you know, you can talk about white this, white, but when you start in with the N-word. Anyway, let's talk to Kenny here. Kenny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father James Recorders. Go ahead.
Phil, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Father, you claim to use the N-word.
That's Sarah, correct.
Let me explain something to you. You cannot have a child of mine in your presence, you teaching them, and they come to me and say that you've used the N-word to them. That's unacceptable. And for you to say that no parent has come to you and not used any kind of force or anything to you, I believe you're lying. Because, sir, if a child of mine has come to me and you said that...
I told these kids... You better get your black, you-know-what, in gear.
I don't care.
Did you use the N-word?
That cross around your neck, and not, God forgive me, but I'd whoop your ass.
You'd burn in hell. Then you'd burn in hell.
No.
Then you'd burn in hell.
No, you.
Are you happy to burn in hell?
You're the one that's going to burn in hell. You're the one that's
going to burn in hell.
You're
going to burn in hell for taking a violent action against God's own representative on this earth.
You're burning in hell for using the N-word.
For using a word in love, and I use that word in love. I use that word to love that child.
Use that word to love that child.
Why would you use that word to love that child?
That child knows only one thing. He knows the street, and he understands the language of the street. So I'll tell it, I give it to him good and dirty when I want it to stick.
When you use a word like that, Father, knowing, and you know, you don't come from this country. And
oh, don't give me that Irish stuff.
I'm going to give it to you. You don't come from this country. You don't know. I was in Canada. I heard my cousins whip that word out. I said, boy, you can't do that in the States, because in our country, it's an exclusive word, and it is recognized as such by all races, white, black, whoever, and we are very ginger when that word is applied.
Well, I give it to them good and dirty.
Well, you give it. Did you hear what this man said? He'd kick your ass.
These children must be infants that you're using this word to, because no teenage, a young black adult is going to allow you to use that word toward them, not without whooping your ass. You're lying.
If they love me and they know what Belmar Academy can do for them, which is to turn their little...
And you use the word, I would still love you, but I would put a good old-fashioned ghetto ass whooping on you, that's for sure.
And let me ask you something now. If I called a baby, if I looked down into a crib and I looked at a little black infant child and I said, why, you lousy N-word, you'd still kick my ass, wouldn't you?
Let me put it to you in ghetto terms.
What the hell?
This guy's a fraud. Hey, you know what? When you get through talking to
I love the fact that you called me a fraud. You called me a fraud. And I've got you laughing.
When you get off this show with Bill, I know you're going to go and smoke your pot of herb. So let me tell you something. If it was my infant and you said it, let me give you in ghetto terms. I'd kick your white ass, okay?
So in other words, you'd kick my ass, even though the little baby didn't even understand a word I said, you'd beat my ass.
You know what
I'd say with love? And I'd say this with love in my heart. I'd say, Kenny, you lousy N-word, if you...
Oh, come on!
You know, Phil, I've been in the worst neighborhoods in this country. And
that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, there's a lot of people that go a lot of places, Father. I agree with Kenny. I don't think you really say the N-word.
Oh, well, now, get a load of Sherlock Holmes. And what are you, Kenny? Are you Mr. Watson? He just hung up, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So you're calling me a liar, is that it?
I don't think you use that word. You can apply it any way you want.
You're saying I'm full of it, aren't you? You're saying old Father James McQuarters is trying to yank it. Trying to yank it free, isn't he? Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to yank it free? I'm trying to get my hand up there and pull it free? And
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that I agree with that gentleman. If you use the N-word, around black parents in this country, regardless of the level of education that they are getting, there would be hell to pay. There'd be an awful lot of grief. Here is Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
What I wanted to ask Father James is you know, let's assume that you take all the guns and you throw them into the ocean. And
yes,
then,
thank you for bringing it back on point, by the way.
Well, you're the guy that took it off point with the N-word.
Okay, let's assume that, you know, the government passed laws, you know, to get rid of all the guns. Now what? Now what are you going to do? Your country, where you come from, guns are, you know, the general population, they're not allowed to have guns. You know, in
You're talking about Ireland.
Yeah. And, you know,
what do you mean we're not allowed to have guns? Of course we're allowed to have guns, but we're limited to the kind of gun we're limited to, long guns. You have to understand something, first off, Chris. This is a country of hunters. Ireland has a great many men and women that hunt. And so you can't necessarily, you can't realistically say you can't have guns, but you're allowed a certain kind of gun.
You're not allowed handguns?
You're not allowed to have a handgun. You can have your long gun. You can have your shotguns. Is that not good enough?
But you can't have assault rifles and pistols and stuff like that.
Assault rifles? For goodness sakes. Do you know that we had the IRA in the north of our country for so many years? Do you know what an assault rifle means if you bring up an assault rifle in Ireland? Do you know what that means? That means real death, my boy. That means lots of people killed. And we had a full revolution in the north of the country, and all it did was kill people. Just kill people. That's all it did.
Well,
and those I almost said the N-word. I was going to talk about the British soldiers. And
oh, that's real nice.
Back before, I mean, I believe that if you took away all the guns that mankind would revert back to using more primitive weapons. Like,
oh, I want to use the N-word so bad.
Like, I agree with you, Chris. Games. So if we don't have guns, in other words, what you were saying was bows and arrows, knives.
What are you guys talking about?
What do you mean, what are we talking about? The human race is violent. If you take away guns, you're going to have stabbings. You know, Canada's got a very strict gun control. That didn't keep that guy from severing that dude's head.
What? Now, what are you smoking now?
What am I smoking? There was a guy in Canada that assaulted a man on a bus and decapitated him.
That's bullcrap.
No, it's not bullcrap. I'll find the story.
You know, Phil, you find the most gruesome crimes that you can think of, and you bring them up at a time like this and get everybody's mind blown. You blew everyone's mind out there with that bullcrap.
It's not bullcrap. You know what, Father? You know,
What do you want, Chris? This is Father McWhorter. What do you want?
I'm trying to, bring some rationality back to the conversation.
You're trying to freshen it up. I understand. You want to get some fresh perspective on this, and I understand that.
Right. You know, the first recorded murder, Cain killed his brother. He used a stone in the field, you know. And the thing is that if you want to kill somebody bad enough,
you're using the Bible in a way that I don't think is fair, because you're using the Bible in a way that is making my argument.
He's using the Bible in a literal way that's making your argument sound like garbage. In other words, he's using the Bible in a good way.
Mr. Henry, if you want, I'll just go ahead and mail my collar to you, and you can be the priest for a night.
Well, I think what Chris did was he used the Bible in a perfectly good way. He said the first murder that we know of in the Bible was a guy killing his brother with a rock, not a gun. All right. With that having been said, Chris, good job. Thank you very much, sir, for your call tonight. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on for a minute. You're not going to actually...
Yeah, I'm actually going to. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our News and Information Hour coming up next hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. You're the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We have our News and Information Hour coming up next. And boy, we're getting ready to draw another winner of a free backstage pass. It'll take place at the end of this month, a free backstage pass for April. And if you want to register for a free backstage pass, all you have to do is go to Phil Hendry Show. Go to our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show and hashtag Phil Hendry. Or go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S, and like our Facebook page. And then we draw from all of you guys who have recently hashtagged or liked. Father James McWhorter's on the line with us. Always a interesting time with you, Father, as you talk about your homilies and the things that you believe and the things that you talk about. And you've gotten quite a few people angry, you know.
Well, you know, Phil, I don't want to make anyone angry. But, you know, when you're dealing with some of these rough kids... And
I understand if you're dealing with some of these rough kids, but the word is an explosive word. It's a word of, you know, people don't like the word.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't like the word either. But I always say to my black students, listen, you don't like Father McWhorter's calling you the N-word, then you're more than welcome to go ahead. You can call me anything you want. And I've had these kids, they say to me, they say, so Father McWhorter, you're saying that we could call you anything? I said, yes. And I've had them call me a shanty, Mick, you name it, some horse, this, and child molesting that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you said you didn't want to bring that up.
Oh, no, and I'm bringing it up as an example of what they get to call me. They'll call me an old whore.
You're telling me on a college prep campus...
I'm saying on a college, with some of the students, that some of my black students that I've called the N-word, I'll say, now you go ahead and call me some old flouncing, I'll say it, some old queer.
I don't believe it.
What is it with you and these? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Why don't you believe it?
Because it doesn't sound like anything a sane educator would do.
I happen to pride myself on being an educator who thinks outside the box. And when it comes to birth control, and when it comes to abortion, Rick Santorum ought to think outside the box, too. Get it?
You know, Father, your jokes are not funny.
They're not funny, huh?
No, they're not funny.
What a pain in the...
What's that?
Nothing.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
877-876-7445. Let me go over here to another gentleman. This is Tori. Hi, Tori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father James McWhorter.
Yeah, I was listening to the show, and, you know, I don't sound like the Antichrist, but you're preaching the same message of negativity that the guy down there in Florida has in his heart, you know, far as, you know, you, especially with the black kids, when you reference the black kids and call them N-words. You got to understand, Father, and, you know, I hope you are a father, you know, and not some guy that claims to be a priest. You could be a fool tomorrow.
I'm a Catholic priest. I'm a Catholic priest educated at seminary in Meath County in Ireland. And if you don't believe me, you can go to the Diocese of Los Angeles and look that up.
But, okay, you're saying these to young kids. Your mind is fully generated, I'm pretty sure. And I'm a 29-year-old black male, and some of the things you're saying are just mind-boggling. You're a grown man. You're a priest. You have been through. So your mind is developed to handle certain situations out here in this world we call America, in this nation we call America. Those young kids that you're claiming you're disrespecting, white and black, their minds are still growing and developing. They don't understand the ramifications of using those words. So when your white kids hear you saying that, they'll try to go out and emulate you on the playground and say, well, the priest said it. It should be okay for me to say it, which is totally is false. Those guys are going to get in so much trouble for using that word, and that word has been, you can call any black person any name other than that word. That word immediately sparks controversy. It can bring up anger. That word is just so should be eradicated with the black race and every other race. No one should use that word.
What about the times when I say it in friendship? I'll say to a couple of kids, hey, you two N-words, let's go get some hamburgers.
You can't even say that.
Oh, come on.
There's no other way to say that, priest. You have to say, hey, you guys, you kids. There are other words to use.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to. You do not have to use the N-word. The N-word is trying to get. We have powerful black leaders that are trying to take the N-word out of the black communities, not some white priest, you know, to tell these kids, hey,
I'm not white. I'm not white. No, hold on. I'm not white. I'm not white. I'm Irish.
Whatever race you are, Father. You know,
I'm not white. You are white. Yes, he's white.
No, I'm not white.
You? What do you mean you're not white?
I'm Irish.
Oh, get out of here. You're white.
I'm not a white American.
Well, whatever you are, priest, whatever you are, you shouldn't be preaching that message of you can use, like Phil saying, the freedom of speech is not free. There's a price to pay after you run your mouth or after you say some things that you had no business saying in the first place. There's a repercussions in place.
What about the time I called up the parents of this one boy, both of them black parents, and I said, I need you two N-words down here for a teacher conference. And I laughed.
Hey, baby.
Father,
you said that, Father. I hope every black person that is enrolled with your academy, hopefully they can find some other means of being educated than have to go through your Catholic, through your preparatory school for college. Because once they get to the college level, if they take that same attitude of we can say what we want to say because the priest says it's okay, they're going to be in a world.
I'm trying to relate.
They're just not going to make it. And I'm an educated man. I take pride in my education. I'm not even upset if you do this, priest, because that is your own. That's gonna be your own downfall. I don't even use that word. I'm a black 29-year-old male, and I told the kids.
I said, "Call me anything you want." They've called me some old flouncy queer.
Boy, that is disrespectful,
priest. You being a grown man, your brain is fully developed. You can take criticism. You can take constructive criticism, and you know that is only that. Those kids, their mind are still developing. They are still learning, and if they take that attitude that they can go about the world and say anything and everything to certain race,
I apologize then. But I said to the lady when I said, "Hey, Aunt Jemima," and I was saying it as a joke. And
well, who was this?
One of the mothers.
That is the most
disrespectful. Yeah. We got to take a break. I appreciate the call, Tori, very much. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. News and Information Hour coming up next.
Oh, why didn't you cry me a river? Listen to you. We're going to make a Phil Henry Show. Why didn't you cry me a river? Hey, Phil.
What?
Big city, set me loose and set me free.
Phil Henry.
I'm tired of it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Whoa, what happened there, man?
You bumped into it.
Sorry, I bumped into our microphone, and it made a funny noise, though. Oh, it was Johnny Bean checking in. We were playing the very first chords to a song during the break. Dan and I were talking about the use of the banjo in rock and roll. And we both agreed rock and roll music doesn't use the banjo any more than rock and roll music uses a steel guitar, which is the banjo is sort of bluegrassy and the steel guitar is country. And, you know, where have you ever heard a country song? But where have you ever heard the steel guitar with a real rock band? I'm not talking about a country rock group, you know, like back in the day, the Flying Burrito Brothers or Eagles or something like that. And you don't really hear the banjo in rock and roll. I said, but except for one song, I remember a banjo being played, and it was a Hollies song called Stop, 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 and I played this little segment from that.
That's a sitar.
No, it's not. It's a banjo.
Sounds like a sitar to me.
I don't care what it sounds like. It's a banjo. So that's a banjo, and I said, is that a minor chord? And Johnny just checked in and said, that's a D chord. That's a D chord.
I don't know. What does that mean? What does it mean, D chord?
That's the chord of music that's in. I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, yeah, but like on a piano, if you hit a D chord, it sounds like that?
Sort of, yeah, on a piano, yeah. I mean, that's how you tune a guitar, you tune things, you go to the piano, you go ding, 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 you know.
How do you tune a piano?
You got to call a guy in to do it. All right. I mean,
what am I going to say?
I know it doesn't make sense, but that's everybody knows how to tune a guitar and a banjo and a ukulele. How do you tune a piano? Call a guy up and have him come in and do it. Johnny is saying, yeah, that song is in D. So I don't know what the hell you want me to say about that, man. It's a D song. It's a very famous Holly song, and it's stop, stop, stop. And it's a banjo, Jack. Don't tell me that's a banjo.
How do you know it's a banjo?
Because I saw the guy play the freaking banjo when they did this song. Anyway, it's a very inventive use of the banjo, as Margaret would say. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It is our news and information hour. We'll do our very best to keep you abreast of the latest, and that's why I've got a Deep Throat poster here on our computer screen. So you can see, I don't know why I've got that there. It was because they were doing some kind of an investigative report, earlier about Linda Lovelace and Deep Throat. The movie Deep Throat I don't think there's ever been a movie like it since. It was a pornographic film. It was an adult film with graphic sexual content, and it was a hit. It made $37,000 in 1 week, which was an amazing amount. I think, was it a week or something, or maybe in one theater, I'm saying. This was back in 1970-something when it came out. And people, middle-class people are going to see it. People that would never in their wildest dreams go, or at least let you think that they were watching porn, went to see this.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Well, you got to understand the times. This was before there was such a thing as home video players at all. All you had was the television. The home video player was not going to become commonplace until 1980, 81, something like that, 82. So all you had was TV. You also at the time, and we were also maybe 2 or 3 years away from cable delivering into our homes uncut movies. We still had just the over-the-air television. If you lived in a big city, you had lots of VHF channels. If you lived in a small city, you had lots of, you had maybe two VHF channels and a whole bunch of UHF channels, something like that. But along comes this movie, Deep Throat, that was, and I'm not going to get into the content of the movie, but you can
probably guess just by the title of it.
What do you mean?
By the title, you can't guess?
Not really.
Are you kidding, bud?
No, I...
You don't understand. Deep Throat is the name of the movie. Well, I'm not going to go into it, okay?
Well, why is that dirty?
You know what? I don't even believe him.
Yeah, you're lying, man.
I'm not lying.
You're an idiot, then.
Well, that much I know.
Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. So, in any event, the movie came out, and for reasons that we don't have to discuss here, it was a novelty. It had a very novel theme or plot, if you care about that stuff, I guess. It had a novel talent that was displayed by the actress. And put it all together, and what do you got? You have the very first hit, in terms of mainstream viewing, adult movie. Now, I don't know of any movie since. I mean, there's been movies that have been talked up that they tried to make. You know, like, and I'm only talking about the old days, man. Like The Devil and Miss Jones, Behind the Green Door. That was Marilyn Chambers.
She hot.
Yeah. You know, you gotta understand the porn actresses that were big back then. They didn't go in. There wasn't a lot of silicone, man. There wasn't a whole lot of big, you know, fake boobs. And I don't know. So,
I bet the guys are in the movie the same ones they got now, man.
Yeah, well, it's same talent anyway. The guy that starred with Linda Lovelace in this movie, the story is this cat was cast from the crew. He was working on the crew, Harry Reams. And,
can't say that.
That's his name. And he was cast from the crew. They said, we need a guy with, we need a guy with. And he said, is this? And they said, okay.
Then he went from being a pulling cable to pulling cable.
Yeah, he went from pulling cable.
I got it the first time. So that's the story of that, man. And I don't know what happened after that. I understand the word was that she got beat up. She got the crap kicked out of her by some dirtbag husband. Is it true? Who cares? It's porn, so, we might as well make it true.
that she got the hell beat out of her by this slob that she was married to, and she eventually, I think, left the business and turned to some kind of a religious life, which is not unusual for not unusual, but it's happened before, and that's the last I heard about that, Deep Throat. And to this day, I've never seen it.
You have never seen it, huh?
I've never seen it, no.
Why not?
Because it doesn't sound very interesting, to be perfectly honest with you. Because if you want to watch porn, who cares?
Yeah, but it's like an art form and stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Look, man, you can tell me anything you want. You can tell me that maybe there's life on the moon. You can talk about the green cheese aspect. You can say anything you want about anything you want. Don't try to tell me that it's art. Because I understand that there's a lot of really serious people in the adult film business, and I appreciate it very much. But when you're dealing with the subject matter that they're dealing with, and they're trying to talk about everything other than what is the subject matter, it still don't make it art.
Well, I mean, yeah, but the lighting and everything, and the way the sun come down through the trees and everything.
Oh, isn't that just fantastic? And that's why you go ahead and you rent your favorite porn movie, huh?
Not really. I just see what the hotel has.
Right. The light through the trees. Yeah. You know, to me, people that make that kind of so-called adult, so-called art adult films, they're trying to make the subject of the movie about a million other things other than what the whole thing's about. Why people watch it, why people want to watch it. And I could be wrong, but I think the only people that are alive today that consider any kind of adult film artistic are the actors and the people that make the movies themselves. The public doesn't. You know.
What about the look at the sales and stuff?
Well, whatever, man. I mean, fine, you know. But the public's not saying, my goodness, was she ever greater than in Behind the Green Door? And when he was behind that green door, I don't think so, man. Right, we're going to come back here with more news on this terrible thing that happened in Sanford, Florida, what I call the murder of that teenage boy. And they had a rally in New York. I mean, this thing's getting big. You know, it's getting big and it's getting bigger by the day. So somebody better, you people in Florida, take it from a resident of Southern California, of the city of Los Angeles more specifically. You better get a handle on this. Just saying, baby, as they like to say, just saying. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And like that. Okay. Hundreds rally in New York City for Florida teenager shot dead. The parents of a black teenager shot to death by a Hispanic neighborhood watch captain. Now they're saying Hispanic. Isn't it interesting? He was white. Then I read today that he was a Hispanic white. Now here in AP, Associated Press, reporting from New York, Deep T. Hajela is the reporter, a Hispanic neighborhood watch captain in Florida, have vowed to keep fighting to get justice for their son. At a demonstration in New York on Wednesday, the teen's father, Tracy Martin, said his son did not deserve to die. Martin's, of course not. I mean, the kid's walking down the street talking to his girlfriend. There's nothing going on there that sounds like a crime to me. You know, a kid's got a cell phone, he's got a can of iced tea, he's got the Skittles. I don't hear anything even remotely law-breaking about that. Now I'm supposed to believe this guy Zimmerman, who said the kid jumped him from behind. Now, let's take the side of Mr. Zimmerman. Let's just, you know, because this is what you have to do. You have to look at this in the empirical manner. Zimmerman was following the kid, we know, because the kid mentioned to the girl, his girlfriend, that he was being followed. And this young man mentioned it to her. Now, we also have the police saying to him, because I heard the 911 tape, the cop or the dispatch person at 911 said, are you still following him? And he said, yeah. And he said, okay, we need you to stop doing that. We need you to stop doing that, is what they said. Followed, I believe, by the comment from him, they always get away. All right, so we now know that the guy continued to follow, even though he was told not to. We also know that the kid was aware that he was being followed. Now, is it possible the kid at some point got so irritated with this guy following him that he decided to confront him on that level? Is that possible? I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying, is that possible? Doesn't mean he should have been shot. That's for sure.
Well, wait a second. So if you say the guy, why are you following me? Doesn't mean he gets shot.
But what did I just say?
He just said that.
What did I just say? You're right. I'm trying to be, look at this thing and look at the evidence. And I don't want to do it in a manner that means it's just all hypotheticals, but is it possible? The other thing is, we know that this guy had a real problem because he disobeyed and discarded the advice that was given by the police and continued to follow this boy. So a guy that's hell-bent on a kid being a criminal following him and the kid noticing that he's being followed. This guy, Martin, makes a claim. He says, I got out of my truck to look at the sign and the kid jumped me from behind. Now, that's the hardest part for me to believe. I can believe that the kid might have said something like, who the hell are you following, man? What's your problem? I can believe that.
Yeah, I might do that, too. I've seen someone follow me.
I mean, you know, I would do it, too. In fact, I've done it in my life. I've turned around to people that have been staring at me or something, you know, and I was, what the hell are you looking at? And I think we've all probably done that. This guy said that he wanted to know what was up with this kid. This guy's following this kid. This guy told the police that he was going to keep following, even though they asked him not to. He gets out of his truck to look at a sign to see what street he's on, he says, and the kid hits him from behind. That's the hard part to believe, because if you're aware of this kid being in your neighborhood and you're looking for him and you think that this kid is a bad thing and you're worried, you're not going to turn your back on somebody that you've been following. So that sounds to me like he said that for the benefit of the cops, that he was waylaid or he was sucker punched or he was somehow jumped. And if you've been following a kid and you're looking at this kid and you're calling the cops about the kid and the kid looks weird and the kid's got on his hood and the kid this and the kid that, and all of a sudden now you got your back to a kid as you're looking at a street sign. Bullcrap. He wants that story to sink in because he wants the jump from behind thing, so in fear of his life thing kicks in. Did the kid confront him? That part is possible, and I don't think it's unusual given the fact that, you know, after a while you're probably going to get a little worried. Why is this guy following me? And maybe they had words. But this jackass, this Zimmerman, he's not got me convinced he got jumped from behind. Sounds more like they had a confrontation face to face, and this slob pulled a gun and killed this kid. It sounds like the confrontation was precipitated by this guy Zimmerman by virtue of the fact that he was told to stop following the kid and he kept following him. So this guy was pushing the issue. He was pushing this kid into some kind of a confrontation, even if it was him stopping him finally and saying, what are you doing around here? He was told by the police not to do that. He did it anyway. The kid's aware that he's being followed. And obviously that's bothering him because we know he pulled his hood up as he continued to talk to his girlfriend. In the dumbass mind of this Zimmerman, that must mean some kind of a gang thing, you know?
Yeah, he probably pulled his hood up so he wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah, some stupid thing like that. So if I can figure this stuff out, I'm not saying I figured it out 100%, but this cop down there, this Sanford PD chief, didn't do any kind of I don't think that there was any photography at the scene. I don't know if they pick up the shell casings. The report by the arresting officers that took this guy Zimmerman in contradicts itself. and it contradicts what this police chief said. This guy Zimmerman didn't say anything about being attacked, I think, until he got to the station house. He didn't say it when he got to, I don't believe he said anything to the cops right at the scene. So this guy Zimmerman says he was attacked, and he shot him in self-defense. He's not been charged. And the last thing we heard from this guy in Florida, this cop Lee, he said, well, you know, I'm very happy to have people come in and take a look at my investigation. We have no idea what this investigation was. And why is it important to us? Why is it important to you and me and everybody across the country? Because we might as well, with all of the communication and the immediacy of news reporting, we might as well take the opportunity to look at one situation that perhaps had happened many times in this country before we had this kind of communication. And we would read about it 2 days later or the next day, and it'd be a little small paragraph in the newspaper on the third or fourth or the fifth page. Kid shot down in Florida. There's a big thing, right? Today, everything is, as the man said, local. Everything's local. You know, in radio, we say that a lot. Everything is local. Some of the brainier guys seem to think that it means everything is local right down to your local town. It is, but everything being local, it means everything around the world is local now. This is a story, 20 years ago, it would be a small paragraph on page 3 of your newspaper, or maybe 30 years ago, or when I was a kid. Today, it's a local story because it affects everybody. New York City, they're having a rally, and people want answers, and you can't run from this stuff anymore. And think of all of the crimes that were committed against all kinds of people that people ran from. And people covered up, and people hid, and people never answered for. That's the good news for me. Now, you know. Yeah, everybody's going to get freaked out and panicked, man. No, I don't see people getting panicked on this. I don't see people getting panicked. Nobody's running around and rioting. People want answers. They're asking for answers. It's a good question to ask. The public officials in Florida are responding, I think, responsibly. From the governor all the way on down, everyone's saying, we got to investigate it more. You know, I think it's been bipartisan, and I think it's been the federals have said it, and the Florida cops have said it, and the governor has said it, and the city council there in Sanford has said, there's something wrong here, we want to have it looked into. So, we'll see. It's the Phil Henry Show here. It's our...
You really busted that down pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much, bud.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what am I not saying that isn't clear?
I don't understand about when you say about the Florida stand and deliver.
Stand and deliver?
You mean stand your ground.
Stand your ground?
Yeah.
It's a law in Florida that says if you feel threatened, you have the right to use deadly force against someone. I don't know what the law says specifically, and maybe that would be something we should look at. Because just saying it that way, if that's all that law is, that's the dumbest law I've ever heard of in my life. That allows for any imbecile to kill someone because they're paranoid. So we'd have to look into that. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil,
the world famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is joining us. Yes, David?
Yeah, listen, my nephew is being christened tomorrow morning by Father James McWhorters, and I was told, and I'm not going to make any presumptions, that you gave him a pretty rough time on your broadcast tonight.
I don't believe so.
Well, look, Phil, even if you were in the right, did you give him a rough time?
When I say we, my listeners and I challenged him on some of his attitudes.
All right. I understand. But did you give him a rough time?
No, we didn't know. I don't think so. We challenged him. We allowed him to state what he wanted to state because, you know, he kept firing back on us.
Look, he's going to be christening my nephew. Now, I'm Catholic like you. And as you know, we believe in the baptism of our children. And this is my brother's son.
Okay.
I don't want this kid being christened by someone who last night, the night before, whenever, had been chewed out on live radio across the country. I don't want the soul of my nephew.
You don't want the soul of your nephew? What are you talking about?
I don't want my nephew burning in hell. Okay?
And what is going to make your nephew burn in hell because...
I don't know what these priests do. Do they do... is there a baptism that they do that isn't the full one? Is there one that leaves the door open for the gates of hell? That's what I worry about.
You know something? You got to stop drinking on a weeknight.
Well, now I've heard it all.
877, I'm not going to...
Yeah, he sounds drunk.
877-876-PHIL. I don't want a priest that's going to send my nephew to the gates of hell. All right, here is the law. And this is... Now, I was reading this during the break, and I think you'll find this fascinating. I did. This is called justifiable use of force. This is the Florida law. You tell me what you think. There's a section here on home protection. We're not going to read that section because that section has only to do with a home or a vehicle. And that's not what was happening here. This was out in the world. This was on a street in this gated community. This was not in someone's home. However, I will tell you this much. This Jackball Zimmerman was near his truck, and I don't know whether he's going to or did say to the police, you know, part of the home protection aspect of the Stand Your Ground law happens to cover automobiles. Being pulled from an automobile or being forced from your own automobile, you have the right to use this so-called deadly force. I don't know what this guy's going to say. But here is the, quote, justifiable use of force. Use of force in defense of a person. A person is justified in using force, except deadly force, against another when and to the extent that the person reasonably believes that such conduct is necessary to defend himself or herself or another against the other's imminent use of unlawful force. However, a person is justified in the use of deadly force and does not have a duty to retreat if... Does not have a duty to retreat. Is this that Stand Your Ground part?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And does not have a duty to retreat if, number one, he or she reasonably believes that such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another, or to prevent the imminent commission of a forcible felony. The imminent commission of a forcible felony. Or two... Under those circumstances permitted pursuant to 77613, and that's where we get into the home protection use of deadly force. This is a section having to do with automobiles and homes. So if you, quote, and this is the most important part of this is 776.0121, and this sounds like it was drafted by an idiot. It was passed by idiots. And forgive me, but hey, it's Florida. And don't tell me that this is something that you can stand there and reasonably defend to me. When you say he or she reasonably believes that such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself. Now, it's not enough, Florida, for you guys to own a gun and to protect your home. I get it about protecting a home. You know who is in your home. You know who is supposed to be there, who isn't supposed to be there. You know what time of the night everybody's asleep, and you know what time of the night somebody shouldn't be coming through a window. Now you're out in the street, and now you've got a different area to defend. An automobile? Okay, I understand that. The well-being of a loved one? I understand that. Your own safety. Here's where we get into problems. because people are very strange, and they come in all shapes and sizes, all kinds of psychology, all kinds of paranoia, and all kinds of fear, the courts of America just about every day are hearing some case where a guy thought that he was in trouble, and so he blew somebody away, and it turned out that this guy was just a nervous Nelly, and he packed that gun everywhere he went, and he had a problem with this neighbor, and yada, yada, yada. But this part of the law says he or she reasonably believes that such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself.
Great bodily harm?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great bodily harm over there.
That's pretty funny, man.
Thanks.
If you guys don't shut up, I'm gonna belt somebody.
Just doing a joke.
It ain't funny. He or she reasonably believes that such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or to another. And you're trying to tell me that law is clear and doesn't allow for any tragic, horrific misconception, misperception, or action on the part of someone? You're saying, I mean, this guy Zimmerman is just the tip of the iceberg for some of these morons. There was a story in Louisiana, many of you probably remember it. Yeah, I don't know how many years ago it was. It seems like it was just yesterday, but it might have been a number of years ago, where a man in his home looked out his window, and he saw a young man dressed in a disco outfit because it was a Halloween party. It was a Halloween night, and this kid in this disco outfit, an Asian student in Louisiana, was dancing on this guy's driveway, coming up to the front door. This guy had never seen this dude before. This cat is some Asian dude in a disco outfit. I mean, sounds funny, except for the way it ended. This guy pulled a gun and killed that man. Guess what? The guy had the wrong house. He was going to a costume party, or he was going to pick up some friends to go to a costume party, and he was at the wrong house. And he was at the wrong house. And I got someplace out there is some asswipe lawyer arguing that, well, you know, I mean, these things happen. There's a guy that's not alive anymore. He's gone because he was at the wrong house. But hey, you know, you can certainly understand that. No, I don't understand. No, I'm sorry, I don't. I know what cops have to deal with. And I don't understand why it is that if you say to a citizen, you have the right to use deadly force, why you don't apply the same standard to that citizen of knowledge, of understanding, of perception, of whatever it is that you apply to a cop.
Yeah, but you're not going to go to school for being a cop.
I'm not saying you go to school to be a cop, but I am saying that whatever a cop has to sort of calculate and has to run through his mind before he uses deadly force, that's what a citizen should have to do. No different. No different. You know, Florida is one of those states, like Arizona, you know, where it's a Wild West show, man. It's like, I often have called Florida the Tijuana of America. You just get, anything goes, man. You got some of the dumbest human beings on earth. You got some of the smartest people on earth. You got some of the nicest. You got some of the scum of the earth and everything in between. And it's just, hey, baby, just do your own thing, you know, your own thing. Let it all hang out. And, hey, we free out here, man, and no state income tax. And you'll believe it when you drive on the roads down there. Believe me. You don't have any state income tax, huh? Yeah, can you tell we're driving on a dirt road? But it ain't good enough. They got to keep passing law after law that even makes it even more free and more groovy. And the next thing you know, even if you feel like maybe you haven't gone to the bathroom in a few hours and you're feeling just a little kind of tight and constipated, that's making a little grumpy, and someone looks at you cross-eyed, so you decide to blow them away. Why? Because you couldn't find a toilet?
Don't be silly. That won't happen.
Oh, sure. Famous last words.
You want to talk about you going to kill somebody because he can't go to the bathroom?
You're saying a man would die on account of another man can't go too. That's ridiculous.
I'm being facetious. So anyway, look it up, man. It is Florida Statute 776, Justifiable Use of Force. The entire chapter, don't just look at the part about home protection, look above that to the actions that one may take when you're out there in the world. And it's just one, you know, I'm glad I live in America, man, because this is stuff we got to deal with, you know. It's something we got to deal with, and we have to straighten it out, and we got to get all this stuff going on the right way, because, you know, this is a free country, but we got to figure out how do you do freedom, and at the same time, how do you protect the rights of dumbasses and at the same time stay alive?
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's the question. If you want to get to the question, here it is. How do you protect the rights of a dumbass and at the same time stay alive for one more day?
Thank you.
I'm Phil Hendry. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to run for public office on that. Phil Hendry, protecting the rights of dumbasses while keeping you alive. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, here we are, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Kind of a load of bummer news, but, you know, you gotta pick through this stuff, you know?
What about that? You were talking about that one guy got killed.
Well, I was telling the guys when I was in high school. Now, you know, here's the thing. If you are laying asleep one night, and there's a party next door, and it's really loud, and you get out of bed, and you go next door, and you say to the guy, hey, man, you know, your party's really loud. Can you guys keep it down? And he tells you to stick it, okay? It tells you to get lost. So you go back to your house. Now, normal human beings would call the cops. I'm of a mind, I always want to talk to my neighbors, not to threaten them. The first thing I do is say, hi, you know, I'm Phil. I'm your neighbor. How you doing? Good, good. And you tell them you're a neighbor, and you introduce, and you give your name, and you become, you know, acquainted with each other before you start in bitching and moaning. I've never seen that fail.
Oh, you kidding me, man?
I'm telling you right now, I've never seen it fail. In my life, I've never seen it fail. When I go to a neighbor and I say, how you doing? I'm Phil, and I'm your neighbor, and I live right there. Yeah. Hey, listen, I was just wondering, would it be possible? That's what you do. You give people a little bit of respect, and you don't go over there like a bull in a china shop, and sooner or later, you know, people don't want to be humiliated. And look, here's another thing. Nobody wants to be told off in front of their wife or their kids. You never want to do that. Even if you think you're a big badass guy and you could take whatever, don't embarrass a guy in front of his wife and kids, because you're only going to piss him off. And, you know, somebody that's pissed off, all bets are off, man. You know, you may not know what it is you're dealing with. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. Normal people go back into their house and call the police. Once the guy told you to stick it, well, okay, then, you know, hi. But let's not talk about a normal guy. Let's talk about a George Zimmerman type. He goes back to his house. The music's still playing. Now he comes back and tells the guy, you got to turn this music down now. Come on. No, stick it. Now he comes back a third time. Now the guy who's drunk has got one foot in the doo-doo already, because he's drunk and because he's got a loud party. And under the Florida law, I could make a case. George Zimmerman could make a case. A lot of guys could make a case. This guy, this drunk with his loud party, lunged at me. I went over there three times, and I told him to shut it off, and he wouldn't do it. And so I had no choice but to kill him.
Yeah, what about call the cops?
Oh, really? Call the cops? This Zimmerman guy called the cops. I don't know how many times. He called cops. And he still shot a guy and still got away with it. So, you know.
What if the kid did?
If that young man had called 911, then I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it would have been a different story. But what is he going to call 911 about? I mean, the kid's walking home. He's got his Skittles, and he's like, what the hell? This dude's following me. He's a teenage boy. He's talking to his girlfriend. He's probably got a little bit of enough savvy to know, if I just, you know, keep on walking, this guy will leave me alone. I mean, maybe this doesn't look like a situation where I got to call the cops. So he doesn't. When I was in high school, a friend of mine was shot and killed with his girlfriend sitting in the car next to him at a party. Now, this is back when we were young, and so we're talking the late 60s, early 70s. He was leaving the party. His girlfriend was in the car with him. He was shot to death while he was sitting in his car by a neighbor who was complaining about the loud party. Now, I can pretty much guess what happened. It was a whole bunch of kids loud and listening to music, and a guy that was all pissed off that there were a bunch of loud kids listening to music. And on top of that, you know, he's got a gun and he comes next door. He gets into a confrontation with this guy sitting in his car and he kills the guy. What point am I making? First of all, this is nothing new, folks. The use of weaponry and firearms and being angry and killing people for the weirdest reasons in the world. It's been going on ever since man started crawling along this planet. The difference is, back when that happened, the only people that heard about it were people where I grew up, in the San Gabriel Valley, maybe in the Los Angeles press, but not much beyond that. That's it. That's as far as it went. So the people in L.A. knew about it. The people in my hometown sure as hell knew about it. Arcadia in the San Gabriel Valley in Pasadena. Everybody knew about it there. But you could go to Phoenix, Arizona. You could even go up to Santa Barbara or San Diego. Man, they don't know from it. Nothing. Life goes on. And these little problems, these little neighborhood problems, continue to be neighborhood problems. And the next thing you know, we have the information explosion and the media explosion. Now it's everybody's problem. And I personally think that's a good thing, because that means that we begin to solve these problems faster.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
What?
Yeah, come here.
What are you guys doing standing together?
Hold on. Ready?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yay!
Oh, that was so great, Mr. Henry.
What are you, being smartasses now?
Well, you're giving a speech.
Hey, man, I'm doing a radio show, okay?
Yeah, you're giving a speech and all. In my day, when I was a young man, this is a thing that used to happen.
Yeah, tell them about it.
Okay, smartass.
Yeah, another thing, the guy was shot. It was a horrible, horrible crime.
Very funny. You guys done?
Not quite. Do the other one.
Yes, indeed. This is Phil Henry. We'll be right back just as soon as we are finished with this commercial. And I'll be here to tell you about my youth when I was there at a party and a kid got his crap blown away. Wait a minute. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
This is Iron Swine on the Phil Henry Show.
Iron Swine gets a call from the Phil Henry El Pacifico studio. Hello, Iron Swine.
Yeah, Mr. Henry's going on and on like a big bag of wind, man. Really gas bagging it tonight, man. Man, I can't even see for the fog in here.
All right, I'm on my way. Iron Swine goes to the Phil Henry studio.
You get out of here with that. Next time you want to do an Iron Swine, tell me about it, okay?
Iron Swine.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know what, man? When I do these little monologues, as I call them,
I got a monologue, man. You want to see it?
Boy, you guys are in rare form, huh?
Yeah, I got your monologue.
You're in rare form tonight, man. Rare form tonight. Okay, fine. Be that way. Doesn't matter to me.
I got your monologue, man, right over here.
Need some paper?
All right, knock it off. That's what I do. I rap, okay?
Yeah.
And when I rap, I tell stories.
Hey, listen, it's the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank God.
Forget it.
Where are you going?
I'm leaving.
Where are you going?
I'm leaving. You guys can end the show. We got to do it now.
Phil Henry Show. I'm Bud Dickman. You got to do it.
I'll do it. I don't care.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the Phil Henry Show. And listen on philhenryshow.com and the show log and everything else. I'm Robert Leonard. Yeah, Phil Henry, big baby.
He's a big baby because he went away.
Yeah, he's a big baby that went away. So just remember, tune in tomorrow. You hear Phil monologue.
Yeah. If you want it, we'll take a picture of it, too.
Take a picture of it.
Phil Henry.